Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
It's hard to return a monkey these days.
I'm going to have to do some more research on this to see exactly what these zombie raccoons are doing.
What good was the snow guy?
Well, last I heard, he had some Velcro gloves and he was hanging out with some sheep in Montana.
I do a lot of Zumba.
Y'all don't understand. I never seen so many Dominican women with cinnamon tans.
You're Macaulay Culkin, and you're just running around your house.
Don't tweet me if you drink the strawby. No strawby.
Zardoz.
Well, speaking of garbage, it's a Nasty Cast. And welcome to episode 153 of the Nasty Cast, everyone. I am Nathan Duck, and you can find me on Twitter at Nathan Duck, and cleverly handled. Joined today, as usual, by the manliest man that I've ever seen in my life, although I've never seen him, but I have heard his manly vocal cords in use, and that is Van Lee. What's up?
That is me. Now, did you, take like a hibernation in your igloo for a good 6 month period to come up with your Twitter handle?
It came to me in a fog of hallucinogens that I took one evening.
Sure. Bunch of DMT and some LSD and yeah.
Yeah. And I just played a lot of Scrabble and I put the letters together to my liking and that's just what came out.
And somehow it was just your name.
Yeah. The whole time I was just like, damn it. Why don't I have Boggle? That would be so much better.
That'd be a pretty good, though, Scrabble thing. Like, if you could get a triple letter or a double word or something on there, Nathan Dawkins, that'd be good. Two Ks.
That's true. Those are worth, I think, five. A surprising amount. You know what doesn't have a K in it is Ron Rigney's name. What's up, Ron? What's your favorite board game?
Definitely not Scrabble. I suck at Scrabble. I'm really
You're a teacher.
Bad at
you
it.
Should be verbose.
Yeah,
I am
but
an English major,
I
and I blow at Scrabble.
Yeah, I teach history. I don't teach language arts. My wife plays taught language arts, and she beats the shit out of me at Scrabble. So, yeah. So I guess I'm a big. I like Scattergories. I'm a big Scattergories guy.
That's a fun game. I do enjoy
that. Yeah, I like that one.
You know what I can't stand is Monopoly. Screw that game.
Boo, I love Monopoly.
Nothing infuriates me more than Monopoly.
I don't think it infuriates any human being like a game of Monopoly.
Oh, my God. I just quit playing with everyone because it makes me so angry.
I know the now kind of disgraced comedian Louis C.K. almost said it best once, but the Monopoly loss is one of the hardest things to experience as a human being. Like, it is a tough loss. You spend 4 hours building up, and then it's like, boom, you land on freaking Park Place with three hotels or whatever, and there you go. You owe $1,500, and you're bankrupt, and you're just done. There's nothing you can do about it.
I'll tell you another one that's almost on that level when you lose is Risk.
Yeah, well, yeah. Again, that's because of the effort that goes into
it. Yeah, Risk is on that level. I'd almost say Risk is a little worse, but I know that there's been – when my wife and I first started dating, there's been times where we played Monopoly and there were hours upon hours where we did not speak because of Monopoly games. So, yeah.
Well, okay, so I have a question for you guys then. This isn't so much about games because it's awful, but we'll start off this way. How often do you guys wash your bed sheets?
Well, me never, but the wife does every couple of weeks, I guess.
I'd say about every 2 weeks, yeah, but every other weekend probably.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Well, first off, what size beds do you guys have?
And a king, baby.
I have a bed fit for a king.
Perfect. Very good. Yes. Now, so this will be relevant. How often do you wash your comforter, or do you have it washed?
Same.
Usually it goes. The sheets get washed, and then when they get thrown in the dryer, the comforter goes in the washer, and then it gets dried.
How?
And then it sits in the dryer for 17 days.
Like, I have a big washer. You can't fit your comforter in that. What are you talking about?
You can't fit anything else in there, but yeah, you can fit it in there.
No way. If I tried to put my comforter in there, it wouldn't even spin. That's how big my comforter is. Well, anyway, that's going to lead right into my story. It might seeg right into my story. So I haven't washed my comforter for probably a year and a half, which is however long I've lived here, because that's how long I've had it. Yeah, no, it's disgusting. It's covered in every imaginable fluid, cat barf.
So many van hairs on there.
It's hair. Yeah, it's just disgusting. But it's
that
also
CSI guy would just pass
what
out.
What color is your comforter?
It's like a dark gray.
Oh, thank God.
So you can't
now, is
really
that the color
it.
That it was when you bought it, or that's just the color it is now?
It is. It is. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, okay. But, okay, I live kind of in the outskirts of, quote, the big city of Springfield, Missouri. And so there's no real – and like I said, that thing's not going to fit in my washing machine. So there's no real laundromat I can take it to without making a bunch of effort. And if there's anything we know about me, it's that effort is not my big thing. But the other day, it just hit me. I'm like – well, it kind of hit me. I was like, you know, I bet I could wash that. What I could do is get one of those big tubs that, like, you put, like, stuff to move in, like a big just, you know, rubber tub, and fill it up. But then I'm like, I'm in an apartment. I don't have a hose. I can't. And then I realized, wait a minute, you stupid idiot. You have a bathtub. That's a tub that's installed in the place. So what I did is I ran, like, my bathtub full of hot water and laundry detergent, and then threw my comforter in there, and then just washed it that way, like I lived in 1910 or whatever. Like I didn't have a washing machine. That was some of the filthiest water I have ever seen in
my
life. In fact, it was so disgusting. I washed it technically three times. I would rinse it, new water, new detergent. Rinse it, new water, new detergent. And then I rinsed it, hung it up. Amazing! It smells so good. It's nice and clean. Even the cat has interest in lying on it now because it was so nasty. She avoided it. Vladimir Guerrero would nothing to do with that thing.
Vladdy.
So you're in the bathroom, old school, old Western style, washing on your blanket.
That was the big one.
Yeah, I'm just picturing like old West dressed people walking through your bathroom like, well, that's a heck of a mess you got there. Like spitting tobacco.
Did you have a white apron on and have your hair in pigtails and have glasses down the end of your nose?
I did, yes, exactly, cool. Just like that. All right. And someone kept walking by like, Man Johnson sure says that you're doing a fine job there.
That's going to be one mighty clean comforter there, Ma. You're doing a great job.
That'll keep you warm in the winter. So hopefully only your 10 children will die. Oh, wait, that's Nathan.
What are you buying? A new comforter?
What are we doing here? Comforter you got there.
I'm buying at a high price. what's your favorite video game reference? Tweet us at NastyCastPod. You can also reach Van at ManlyVanLee or Ron at TheRealMade. You can also email us NastyTracksPods@gmail.com.
Or tweet us if you have a dirty comforter.
Yeah, we will wash it. Van will wash it specifically.
No pictures.
He'll get his old washboard out.
And then I'll play the washboard. I have a big jug somewhere. So, and I think I did that last week. But so we have a jug, a washboard, one of those things,
spoons,
and then one of those like wooden things that has like ridges on it. So where he goes, whenever you, what the hell ever that is, just do that too.
Well, that's a mighty fine tune you play there, Mr. Leap.
A spittoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, suddenly there's a spittoon in the corner of your bathroom.
What do you mean suddenly? There's always a spittoon in the corner of my bathroom.
Not just in the bathroom.
Fair enough. Hey, if you like the show, you can support the show by rating and reviewing us on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It helps us climb the iTunes rankings and gives us more visibility. You can also go to patreon.com/nastypod if you want to donate some cash every month. You can also listen to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball, which is the Dynasty version of podcasting that we do. And we just recorded a very special episode with John Calvagno from Notes from the Sally.com. And so we dove into a bunch of scouting reports on some players who he has seen recently. And it was a very good episode. So go check that out. On today's show, we have trouble in Los Angeles as the Dodgers are down a bunch of guys. We've got dudes that be feuding. So that kind of ties in with our intro. There's going to be a duel later. Players also will be gaining value. Will they make it onto your fantasy roster? Stay tuned for the waiver wire segment. But let's start off with some news. And actually, before we get into the Dodgers' unfortunate turns of events. We've got Jacob deGrom, who just today, as we're recording this, left his start with a hyperextended elbow. So, you know, no timeline yet, I guess, as far as how long he's going to be out, how serious it is. He's going to go for an MRI tonight. We'll know the extent of it tomorrow, probably about the time this is being released. Is there anybody on that roster that you guys would be looking at as far as any interest? Because I'm looking through like roster resource trying to find something and just nothing. Like Steven Vargas is up now. He gave up only 9 earned runs, I think, in his first start. So that was really good. I think they like Gesellman in that setup role where he's at right now.
Well, so I was going to say, because I know I have Seth Lugo and Gesellman both in a couple places because they have starter eligibility, but they're mid relievers and they're having pretty decent seasons. So I guess one of those two guys would be the only ones I would really be on if they decided to move them in the rotation. I really hope they don't, though, because they got a good thing going there. I don't really want to mess with that as far as a fantasy for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, that's looking. One thing I want to say is that, I mean, he's pretty much in the rotation as it is, but the advanced metrics are actually painting a little bit better picture than his 409 ERA says. But Zach Wheeler, if he's still out there in your league, I know I kind of was off of him this year just because he just doesn't seem to be the same after the horrible surgery and injuries he's had. But he's kind of putting it together a little bit. 4 starts, 22 innings, 409 ERA, almost a strikeout per 9. The walks are down a decent amount, and he's keeping the ball in the yard, so that's not a bad option there. As far as DeGrom goes, because they said hyperextended elbow, I'm not quite, you know, in Tommy John mindset. And he's older. Is he 30 now? He's around that age. But he also feels like he has very few innings on that arm. So I don't know. Unless this is a really drastic injury, I still think I'm pretty much in on DeGrom. And like I said, if this isn't a Tommy John style miss a full season and a half injury, this might be a buying opportunity, in my opinion, for him.
Yeah, and I don't foresee a Tommy John. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Not that I own DeGrom anywhere. I refuse to draft him after he cut his hair.
He will be 30 in June, by the way.
There you go. Jordan Montgomery, one of my dudes this year. Unfortunately, he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. And I was also perusing the Yankees roster resource here, and not a whole lot better. You guys have anyone in the organization that you have interested in that might step up? I don't know if they've announced a corresponding move yet. Oh, I think they did. It might have been a hitter.
Yes, they did something to do with the hitter. That's correct. But they haven't done anything with a pitcher yet. Oh, man, I'm just drawing a blank on his name. But Chase, what's his name? Maybe it's
Chance Adams.
Chance Adams.
He's actually not on the 40, man.
But I think they should move him on there. I mean, he's old enough. He's performed enough. I think they finally need to do that. Look, I was shocked when they called up Gleyber Torres because, to be honest, their team struggles were not because of offense. Even though they had some struggling offensive players, they were still scoring a boatload of runs. Their problem was through pitching, but then they decided to call up Torres anyway. And you know what? He's been hitting really well, and I think he'll be great. But if they're going to do that with somebody like Gleyber Torres, just do it with Chance Adams. Just get him up. Get him in your rotation. You need it really badly. So I would definitely do that for sure if I were the Yankees. But obviously that means there's a corresponding move needing to be made. But you've got guys like Tyler Wade, even Neil Walker, people like that that, you know, really aren't doing a whole lot for your team. They're either underperforming or on one-year deals or whatever. You can find a guy to cut to move to put Adams on your 40-man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, Walker might even get DFA the way he's been playing.
And they got a couple of young guys down a few levels that, I mean, I don't think they would think about bringing up just yet. But, I mean, one thing you might look at, too, and I know he wasn't ultra successful before as a starter, but they did just trade for A.J. Cole as well, and he's in the bullpen. So that could be something they could try out. Not really that I'm too excited to go at him anywhere, but he could be an option.
Very good. All right, let's go on to some more depressing news. Corey Seager is going to be out for the season after undergoing Tommy John surgery. So Ron, who are you looking at to replace Corey Seager, who, by the way, was a don't for me this year? So, you know what? Sometimes it's wise to avoid the injured guys who already have that injury in preseason.
Yeah, the Dodgers is a hole or in trouble. They're not in a good spot right now. I was kind of perusing the Fantrax ADPs for shortstops. And, you know, once again, you know, kind of like you said, too, Corey Seager was off to kind of a slow start anyway, so you weren't getting a whole lot out of him. So I feel like if you're looking at guys on waivers, you might not see a big drop off from the production he's giving you. The guy that stands out to me at the top of the list, and he's had a pretty solid season. I have him in a couple of deeper leagues as a bench guy. Nick Ahmed for the Diamondbacks is out there. He's only owned in 33% of Fantrax leagues. He's got five bombs. He's got 17 RBIs already, which I was kind of shocked to see. Hitting 261. Hits in a nice lineup. You know, the Diamondbacks have been off to a pretty solid start there. Another guy that you could look at as well down the line a little bit, and I don't know once again because, you know, it's once again me not being a homer pick here, but Daniel Robertson, a guy that's got multi-position eligibility as well. I was surprised to see that he's actually owned in more leagues than Nick Ahmed is. Robertson is owned in 58% of leagues. He's hitting .310, got three bombs in 24 games that he's been up with the Rays. Does have Willy Adames behind him kind of pushing him, so, you know, we'll see what happens there. Other than that, I mean, you're not going to get a whole lot. There's guys that I like in OBP leagues a little bit more. Sticking with the Dodgers, I was looking at Kike Hernandez, you know, another guy that's got multi-position eligibility that they're going to try to get his bat in the lineup. They like him on the Dodgers, and so he's got three homers, 10 RBIs. He's only hitting .235, though, but he's somebody you could look at because 22% owned. And then if you go down a little bit further, one last guy that I like there, multi-position eligibility is Chad Pinder for Oakland. He's got some shortstop eligibility, and he's only owned in 17% of leagues. So there's a few nice options out there that are low owned.
Pinder hardly nor. Nope. For your shorter, your more shallow leagues, like your 12-team leagues, I agree. I really like Nick Ahmed. I think he's doing more than I ever would have guessed, but I think there's at least some sustainability about it. Jose Peraza, if he's out there, you know, he's not the best option, but he can give you some steals. He can hit maybe a home run here or there, even though he doesn't walk. So if it's a batting average league, you'll be much better off with him in there. Eduardo Escobar, if he's out there, he's performing fairly well. Remember that, you know, we're getting really close to Jorge Polanco coming back as well. Now, the Polanco owner probably kept a hold of him, but if it's a redraft league, maybe he got cut. You know, pick him up, and hopefully soon, you know, you can get his production. Now, he's not going to hit like Seager, but he's going to provide you enough value that it's not going to sting quite as much. And the last guy I kind of wanted to mention was, what was that movie? Was it Scanners, where it was like aliens taking over bodies of people? Because that's what this guy's name is, the Isaiah Kiner Falefa guy, the like weird alien name. He's actually hitting really well, so I kind of like him a lot as a good pickup there, as maybe a middle infielder or something or other. But one thing I do want to say about Corey Seager is that I agreed with you, Nate, that he was kind of the don't this season, just because the cost was still too high based on what he's getting you. You weren't getting the steals like you would with a Francisco Lindor, and you weren't getting the consistent power like you would with a Carlos Correa, or the steals, of course, with a Trey Turner. But he's still a really good hitter, and Tommy John surgery for an infielder really isn't as big of a deal as it is for a pitcher. I mean, Gleyber Torres is the prime example of that. He's playing out of his mind, not out of his mind, but well, and defensively he's fine. So maybe this actually knocks Seager's value down to where that it might actually be worth it. Now, in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League, I considered making a run at him until I figured out who owned him, which is an owner which we just discussed. And so that's all we need to know about that. So that's not going to happen. But if you can get a cheap cost or a cheap price on Seager for a team that might be competing this year and needs the help, I'd take a look at trying to scoop him up. I mean, he's still a kid and he's still really good.
Indeed. All right. So some more Dodgers news. Yasiel Puig to the DL with an ankle injury, and it is Verdugo time, Van. So we'll throw it to you. Yasiel Puig, do you have any interest in him for the rest of the year?
I've never had interest in Puig. It's almost, well, I won't say never, but for the most part, I haven't, just because he's never performed up to the level of that early career stuff. Last year was pretty solid, but the price still felt like it was a little too high, even though it was as low as it got. This year, the price was way too high, so I didn't have any interest in him. And then this year, he performed really poorly before he got hurt. So, no, I'm definitely going to avoid him.
Yeah, 193 average, no homers, four steals, over 96 plate appearances for Yasiel Puig. But Verdugo is one of your boys. Are you excited for him?
Well, he used to be one of my boys. Now I don't own him anymore, which is crazy. But I do really like Verdugo, and I'm kind of excited for him. He's a weird prospect. He's not one of the prototypical, you know, 2018 prospects where you walk, you hit a home run, or you strike out. He's more of a contact-oriented guy who will walk as well. But the power we don't quite know about. The speed's probably never going to play up to be exceptional, but I do think he could steal 10 to 15 bases if in the right situation. But with this juiced ball in the majors, there's also the opportunity that his power spikes. So I think if he gets full-time at-bats for the rest of the year, I don't know, a 15-10 season is certainly within reason, and he's going to hit 300. I mean, I would make a pretty hefty dollar bet on the fact that he could hit 300 just because he's that good with the bat, and if he's also getting on base a lot too. What's that?
Are you describing a rich man's Jesse Winker?
I could go with that. I think that's about right. I mean, look what Winker's doing this year. They're doing virtually the same.
So Alex Verdugo is Jesse Blinker.
That's all you wanted to do with that, really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. I'm done. I like Verdugo. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on him, but I like him.
Rod?
I got nothing after that.
Bringing back the best joke in the history of the podcast. Y'all are welcome. Yeah, no, I'm on board with you, though. I do think that we could see a little bit more pop from Verdugo than we've seen in the minor leagues just because of the juice balls, nice and juicy. So speaking of juicy, we got Mike Soroka on. He got the call for the Braves, and he had himself a really nice start. So are you picking him up in all formats, or are you a little more tepid moving forward?
Yeah, but the only thing is, though, you know, kind of like we talked about on the other podcast, and we were discussing Joey Wentz talking about the embarrassment of riches that they have. I'm hoping that he's a guy that stays up in the rotation, and it's one of those things. It's almost unfair, you know, and we know this because we went over their farm system, and we talked about how, you know, they lost some guys. They lost Kevin Maitan because of the whole, you know, investigation that went on with the firing of the GM and all that. But we know that they're loaded from top to bottom, and they have a lot of guys that are major league ready right now. So, I mean, I think he's going to stick around. The debut was fairly solid. You know, the one thing is, though, it's just going to be an instance of they're going to have too many guys for only five rotation spots. So I don't know if there's any guys in that rotation they can move. I don't really know how if Tehran's value is where they would maybe want to move him out. McCarthy, I don't really know, but I mean, all these homegrown guys that they have, I don't really think you're going to lose out with any of them that you get. You know, Fulton Evich is having a great season. Newcomb has shown some flashes, but he's kind of been up and down. Soroka, Kyle Wright is still down in the minors. Luis Guajara is going to be up. So, I mean, as long as you can grab one of these guys that they have, I think you're going to be doing yourself a favor. But I think Mike Soroka has a chance to be one of the more solid ones at the top of the list there.
And look, Soroka is a 20-year-old kid, and I think the only reason that he started that game or has started a game in the majors this year is because of Gohara's injury. I think that's Gohara's spot, and I believe once this all shakes up, I think they would rather have Gohara pitching, not necessarily because of talent levels, even though they're both quality, talented pitchers, but because Soroka is so young. And I think they would rather he just have a little bit of seasoning. Now, I wrote about Soroka in the preseason about a guy whose stock rose based off of last season, and I really like him. I think if he can maybe put on a little more weight and add a little more velocity to the fastball, which isn't bad, by the way. He was around 94 yesterday. But if he can get that up to, you know, maybe 95, 96 semi-consistently, I think he'd go from being your number two, number three guy to a potential ace. That's how much I like him. Now, right now, the slider kind of flattens out every now and then, so I really do think that as much as he pitches in the majors, he's going to have some stinkers. He's going to have a couple of those 4, 5, 6 run games just because he doesn't have his off-speed pitches. But that fastball is good enough right now that I think it's going to carry him at least for a little while. Who knows what the Braves are going to do? They've had a really good start to the season, so I think they have some initiative to keep him up and let him keep pitching, but I don't know. Last year in 2017, he pitched 153 innings, so arguably we could see 180 innings out of him if they want to, though that, again, he's kind of young to be throwing that many innings. But I do like him, so it's mostly a situation worth monitoring. And if I'm in a league that I can pick him up in, I'm definitely going to pick him up. But maybe I'm going to be a little cautious, or I'll be a little more pessimistic as to how many innings I actually get from him, just because I don't think the Braves are sold on, you know, plugging him and letting him go.
Yeah, and it is worth noting that, you know, once Gohara comes back and does, you know, get that, you know, lock down that pitching slot in the rotation, they also do have Brandon McCarthy, who it's only a matter of time, like, before he's back on the disabled list. So you could see Soraka sort of yo-yoed for a while until that happens, which it will eventually happen. And speaking of pitcher injuries, Robbie Ray out indefinitely with a grade 2 oblique strain. Man, he's been kind of sketchy this year, I guess. 27 and 2/3 innings. The K's are definitely there, 14.64 K per nine, but the walks really shot back up, 5.53 walks per nine, and that led to a 4.88 ERA. So he is going to be out for quite some time. I don't really think, I mean, the Diamondbacks are not known for their pitching depth, so I don't think there's going to be any real fantasy relevant replacement there. So maybe we'll just kind of move on to some better news, where the Twins have shifted.
Well, all I want to say real quick about this is I just wish that somewhere out there was a fantasy analyst who maybe said that guys who walk 4+ batters an inning really weren't all as good as they were set up to be last year. Now, injuries withstanding, I don't know. I just don't feel like Robbie Ray did all that well this year. And if only there was someone smart enough to say, maybe avoid him. But that's the world we live in.
Okay, so you're getting high and mighty on an injury.
No, hashtag I'm getting salty. High and mighty on the fact that he's pitched 27 innings and walked 5.5 batters per nine and has a 5 ERA, which is what he should do when you walk that many batters. He was bad when he was healthy. Now that he's hurt, yeah, who cares? It's no big deal. And in fact, your team's probably better off for it because you paid a big price for him and you were just going to continue getting some crappy innings but with good strikeouts. But now you can find somebody else on the wire and hopefully get some decent performance.
Well, I will say I'm not going to miss him too hard in the one league that I did draft him in, but I do think that he will, you know, continue to lower that walk rate whenever he gets back. Like he did make some steps forward last year. And it's your strand rate is going to be high enough to not have a 5 ERA, you know, when you're striking out 15 freaking guys per nine. That kind of offsets the bad whip to a certain extent. But I'm not saying this is like the world's biggest Robbie Ray fan. I was kind of meh on him, you know, as the season was coming in. But like I said, I guess it's weird that you say that because the one league that I did have him in, it's like I really don't care. I was totally ambivalent when he hit the disabled list. I'm like, he's been so bad. I will just pick up somebody else because it's a 12-team league. So you'll be able. We're going to talk about some guys in the waiver wire later on that could possibly be Robbie Ray replacements. Because like I said, you're definitely not finding anybody in Arizona to step up and be fantasy relevant. But Van, we'll stick with you here. The Twins have shifted Phil Hughes to the bullpen and called up somewhat top prospect Fernando Romero. And he just debuted today. So 5 2/3 innings pitched. 3 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. What are you looking forward to from Fernando Romero moving forward?
Well, we just previewed Romero maybe a couple of weeks ago in our Fantrax Dynasty Baseball podcast, and we talked about how he's actually kind of an exciting pitching prospect. And, I mean, he earned that 70 grade on that fastball because it is a good pitch, and he performed really well today when he pitched. And to be honest, I don't know what the Twins' plans are. Maybe you know a little more than I do, following them a little more closely. But I think they need to just have him in the rotation.
Their pitching sucks.
Their pitching sucks, minus Jose Berrios, who's really good, even though he's been a little shaky at times. But that team has struggled, and they need an infusion of something. And if it's young talent, if it's an exciting young pitcher who can keep him in the game every 5 days, so be it. Let that be him. I really, really like him. So I think if he's available in your league, definitely scoop him up. Phil Hughes, it's kind of sad. It's the end of an era. I mean, it was just a few years ago that he had that insane season with the Twins where he walked like 4 batters over like 200 something innings, yeah, or whatever. And then now he's relegated to the bullpen and virtually is a non-commodity in most leagues. So sad to see him go to an extent. But yeah, Fernando Romero, good stuff. I really like him. I think there are going to be some shaky outings because that control may not be as good as you want it to be. Last year in AA, I think it was, he basically had a 8 K per nine and a 3.5 walks per nine. And, you know, double A, as I say a lot, is the first real test for a prospect. And if he performed that well at a young age, the next step is performing in the majors, because triple A is just kind of a wash as compared to double A. And if you look further back in his career to the single A numbers, they were elite. So I think if he continues growing, and I believe he will, he can be a pretty good starter. And I think that could be as soon as this year.
Yeah, and I think we kind of answered our own question there too with Robbie Ray, as far as if you have him, you know, Romero's a guy that you might see if he's available out there that could potentially be a guy, you know, that you could maybe potentially get some production out of if he does get the call up. Has that been official yet? Is he called up for sure? I'm trying to find that
Romero
here.
Yeah, he started.
Romero, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did he start today?
Okay. I did mention that and give his entire stat line. Not that you were paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention. I'll be the first to admit that. So,
neither well you nor I are afraid to admit that we don't listen to anything Nathan said.
Well, this is like, you know, that's my first out of how many podcasts. So I'll be the first to admit that. Yeah. You know. But I will say I did get to see him pitch at Fort Myers here a couple of years ago. And one of the things I was very impressed with, Van, you mentioned his fastball. At least that day that I watched him in a little bit of the film I've seen, he was very good at picking spots with the fastball as well that day, because I was able to sit behind a plate, because when you go to these games, you can pretty much sit wherever the hell you want. And so I was able to get some good seats there. And I was very impressed with him that day. He had a pretty good outing. And, you know, that's, once again, a guy that if you're missing Robbie Ray, I think he's going to get a chance to stick, because, you know, you mentioned Phil Hughes. The Lance Lynn experiment's not working out too well for them either. So, I mean, I think he has an excellent opportunity to stay up and give you some production there.
Well, are you done? I wasn't listening.
What?
Listen to the bitterness. So bitter.
So, Van, we'll stick with you here. Oh, by the way, yeah, as far as my take on Romero, I'm tepid, I guess, just because, like, I'm so
bitter
about the Twins. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, their pitching just, there's a cloud over their pitchers that makes them all suck. It doesn't matter who it is. Chris Sale could come over to the Twins and be like a number four starter all of a sudden, just magically. So, yeah, I don't know how deep he's going to go into games, because he tends to walk too many guys. So, there are other guys who we'll talk about in the waiver wire that I have more interest in than Fernando Romero. But Ben, we'll throw this one back to you, since you are the resident Angels fan. Keenan Middleton has hit the disabled list. What the hell is going to happen at the back end of that bullpen now out in Anaheim?
Well, we've already seen Cam Bedrosian get an opportunity and immediately blow it. So we know it's not going to be Bedrosian. I think he'd kind of garnered a little bit of faith from Shosha, but that was out the window. There's a lot of talk of Justin Anderson taking the closer's job, basically taking the leap from double A straight up to the majors to do it. I don't think he profiles as a closer. A lot of guys are kind of saying it almost in that trendy way, just to be like, yeah, man, Justin Anderson, he's going to be the guy, man. But I don't believe that one bit. Keenan Middleton has already said that this was just a cautionary thing. His elbow already feels fine, and he believes he'll be back after the 10 days, and I still think he's the guy when he comes back. So I would not cut him in any league if you own him. Stash him on the DL if you can. In the meantime, if you're looking for some vulture saves, yeah, Justin Anderson could do it. Maybe Blake Parker. I don't think so. I think maybe even Cam Bedrosian gets another shot before Blake Parker does. But for the most part, this is going to be a 10-day thing where you just kind of play it by ear and see what happens.
Yeah, and I read the same thing about Middleton as far as him talking about his elbow being, you know, feeling pretty good so far. So I don't know if I'm going to rush out and try to add any of these guys. But if you're looking for one, I think I would side with Bedrosian getting another shot at it, because I think that's the guy that they just want to kind of seize this job, and it doesn't seem like he's doing that. And so, you know, like you said, Van, Anderson's kind of the trendy pick as well. So I'd go maybe Bedrosian and then Anderson in that order. And by the way, Nate, before I move on to, I just wanted to make sure that you know that Minnesota has a team ERA of 5.34, which is second worst in all of baseball.
That's good. Yeah. That's what happens when you give up about 15 fucking runs a game. Damn, am I sick of this season.
Hold on. Oh, let me write this down. Give me a second.
That 100% achieved the result I was hoping for, so thank you.
It has been so miserable. Oh, all their best players are on the disabled list or just sucking balls. It's been just so much fun. I've enjoyed watching them for these last 2 weeks. Great job, guys. All right, let's take a break. I'm going to lose my...
Mm-hmm.
Nasty.
Welcome back to
Actually,
the Nasty
I'd like
Cast.
To talk about some other things real quick.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what? Wow. You know what really impresses Owen Wilson is a Dude Feud.
Quack Davis,
Juan Soto,
Lance McCullers,
Justin Upton,
Delino DeShields,
Franklin Barreto,
Carlos Rodon,
Whit Merrifield,
and of course, Hoog Bowell.
Feud of Dudes.
These dudes be feuding. And so, Van, we shall start with you here. As the resident Brandon Belt fan, he is in fuego so far this season, which I got to bear the full brunt of in my weekly score sheet league. And I got to face him this week and his four like homers in four games. It was just lovely. I loved it. So, yeah, go Brandon Belt, who I own nowhere. Anyway, I think he's somewhere pulling up these Fantrax rankings. He's like eighth, I think. These aren't. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, eighth. Okay, so that's obviously you don't think he's going to finish there. Am I right in saying that?
Well, no, obviously not. But okay. I do certainly think he's going to finish well. Like, for example, I have the preseason ADPs in front of me. So I think we can go through that if that's all right with you.
Okay. I had the current, with a month in the books, I have the current, like, sort of standings, like how everybody's doing so far.
Okay.
You know, CJ Cron is in fourth. So obviously this it's a little wonky yet. But, you know, okay, how about Josh Bell? Do you think he can beat Josh Bell in the season? Who's got one home run so far?
I'm going to have to look at what Josh Bell has done. So let's take a look here.
He's hitting .237 with one home run.
Yeah, I knew he'd struggle because I, in fact, traded for him. I traded away Brandon Belt in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League and then traded for Josh Bell from a certain co-host that has not said a word in a brief moment. I think... Okay, so rest of the season, I could see Belt outperforming Bell. That said, I actually do really like Bell. I think Belt's kind of come into his own, and he's hitting for a decent average, which has usually been the issue. Normally he's, well, like last year he was at .241. Previous year's .270, .280, which is decent, don't get me wrong. But if he's going to hit .280 to .290, that's going to make that insane OBP, which he has because he walks 14% of the time, really, really good. The power spike is a bit surprising, and I think that's the big thing that we're going to see fall down. I think he does get to his 20 home run total for, what is it, the first time in his career? Yeah, so for the first time in his career, getting to 20 home runs, but I still think he's going to provide you good average, good OBP, and even though he's on a crappy, crappy team, he won't kill you in runs and RBI. So I'm going to take Belt over Bell for the rest of the season, but I'm not going to do it. You know, that's not a no-doubter for me. I'm just going to say, okay, I'll do that.
That's probably about the sweet spot then, about the top 20 first baseman.
Yeah, I could see going with that. I think there's.
I mean, right before him, we've got Eric Thames, who's out for a while, and then Joey Gallo. You're not taking him over Gallo, are you?
In an OBP league? Well, no, I'd still take Belt over Gallo in an OBP. No, I'd take Gallo over Belt in an OBP league. Batting average league, I'll take Belt. Who's the other guy you just mentioned?
Well, Eric Thames, but he's injured.
Yeah, if he comes back perfectly healthy, I'll probably still go Eric Thames in either type of format. But then if he misses the maximum amount of time and I'm still kind of wary about the injury, I'll go with Belt. So that was kind of on the fence. But right in that area, that sounds about right.
Okay, so pretty legit as long as he can stay on the damn field and avoid a concussion.
Yeah, and that's the important thing is it feels like he's past the concussion issue. So as long as he doesn't get hit in the helmet for some stupid reason. And remember, he's only 30. It feels like he's been around forever. Now, 30's not young by any means, but it's young enough that he can still perform at a decent level. So maybe in a dynasty league, you've got 2, maybe 3 years of pretty good production at him before he starts to fall off. But I think this could certainly be a career year for him, for sure.
All right. Well, let's do another Dude Feud, shall we, Ron? We shall move on to you. We've got Jose Peraza, who currently is hitting .296, 320, .400 with two bombs and five steals. And ever since Price was fired, Jim Riggleman has been batting him second, which, you know, huge OBP guy, right? You got to get him up there hitting second. I don't know what kind of sense that makes, but hey, for fantasy, we will take it. So let's see where I actually am pulling up his preseason ADP, and it was 19, the 19th shortstop drafted right behind Gleyber Torres, who is now up. So rest of the season, what do you think, Jose Peraza or Gleyber Torres?
Well, I think it depends on what you need. I mean, if you're looking at more of just overall production in your categories, I think I'm going to go Gleyber Torres. But if you're needing some steals, I think Jose Peraza is the guy you're going to go with in that scenario. He's got five already. And whatever it has been, it's, you know, like maybe it's the move to the top of the lineup. I don't know, because I do have Jose Peraza in the Dynasty League. And he started out really slow, and all of a sudden, over like the last 2-3 weeks, he's really upped his production a little bit. So I'm looking at the rankings here right now, just on Fantrax, as well, where the shortstops are. He's actually the 12th ranked shortstop that's listed there. So I think I would go, if I need some steals, I'd go Peraza. But I think if I'm looking for maybe an overall contributor, maybe in runs and maybe an average, and you know, a few homers here and there, I think I'd go Torres. Long term, I'd definitely go Torres.
Yeah. Okay, so Orlando Arcia, he was drafted as the 11th shortstop. Obviously, he's really scuffled out of the gates. Would you be cutting ties with a guy like Orlando Arcia to pick up the services of Jose Peraza?
Oh, for sure, for sure. Because Arcia is a guy that I've cut ties with in a couple leagues that I expected a little bit more out of. I mean, I didn't expect huge numbers out of him. I don't have him in front of me, but I know that they're definitely nothing that you would keep on most teams. And so, yeah, I definitely would go with that. The only thing that just worries me a little bit about Peraza is just the team overall, the lineup he's hitting in, because they've struggled as a team all around. So I'd still take him over Arcia, though.
Yeah, yeah, and that gets us about to a top 10 option the rest of the way. And it kind of drives me nuts that that's the case, because he's really just a slap hitter. He never takes a walk. And those guys kind of drive me nuts, but he's got the wheels, man. And the, you know, speed is the name of the game. It's hard to find. And especially if he's going to be hitting second, he should be scoring some runs and, you know, getting more opportunities to steal bases. You know, so, I mean, as far as one extreme or the other, Paul DeJong, you know, he was the next guy at number 10. I guess Trevor Story is pretty much the same guy at number 9. Are you going that far?
You mean to take Peraza over Paul DeJong?
Yeah.
I mean, once again, it depends on your needs. I don't think so, though. I think I would still like to have the homers and RBI. I don't know, you know, the batting average from Jose Peraza. You know, like you said, it's sitting at 296. I don't know if he's more the 296 guy that we're seeing now or the 259 guy from last year. So, I mean, if he's hitting 259 and, you know, he's not walking. Last year he walked at 3.9% clip. If he's not getting on base, he's not a homers guy. And, you know, we know the big thing with Paul DeJong is he strikes out a lot, doesn't walk very much. But if I'm going to have two guys that aren't going to walk very much and aren't going to have high OBPs, I'm going to go with the guy that's going to give me more production, and that's going to be DeJong. Because if, obviously, it's kind of a Billy Hamilton scenario. If the guy that's fast is not getting on base, then he's not stealing you bases. And so he doesn't really have a whole lot of value. And I think that, you know, you can get a little bit out of Peraza there, but he's not going to be a huge homer guy. Like you said, he's a slap hitter. And those guys, if they don't get on base, are not really going to give you any value. So I'm going to go DeJong in that scenario.
DeDong. All right. I think I'm with you there. So that's about where he is, about right around that top 10 rest of the season is kind of what we're thinking. And I'm just looking at DeJong's numbers right now because I haven't checked in on them in a while. He's still hitting 269.
Yeah, the average isn't bad. I don't have the strikeout numbers in front of me, but I don't have his open
33%.
Team. Okay, so right about where we'd think it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I just don't like either one of those guys.
but I'm looking at the Fantrax rankings here, and it's interesting to see. You look at Jose Peraza at number 12. You got Tim Anderson at 11, which I look at. You know, Tim Anderson, I think, is a little more pop, but they could finish with similar steals numbers if Peraza can get on base. But when you go up a little bit further, you see Peraza ranked 12th. You got our boy Trey Turner here ranked 8th. So he's not all that much further ahead of Jose Peraza here at this point in the year. I don't expect it to stay that way, but it's kind of interesting to see some of the names that he's kind of in the same pack with.
Yeah. All right. So in a feuding for one episode, let's go to Van here. We'll move on to the waiver wire. And we're going to start off with Nick Kingham, who had the baseball world all abuzz with his first start. He was just terrific. And in the AAA too, he kind of backs up, you know, just how good he was in his major league debut. In AAA, he had a 1.59 ERA and 27 Ks over 22 and two-thirds innings pitched. So are you, well, I guess, what kind of leagues, Van, are you looking to pick up Nick Kingham in?
I mean, if you're even in a 12 team league, if you're struggling for pitching, I think he's certainly viable to be picked up there. One thing I kind of want to bring up with him is that, you know, we were talking about Soroka earlier on. That was this podcast. We record so many in one day, I sometimes forget. This could be like the poor man's Mike Soroka, to be honest. I think they could have some similar numbers. If you look at their steamer, their zips, their the bat projections, they kind of project out to be about the same. Although most projection systems are a little more conservative when it comes to pitchers coming right up from the minors. So I think both of those guys could even outperform the ERA marks at least. So I like Kingham. I like him a lot. I think the Pirates, now that they've started him, are just going to throw him out there. There's no reason not to. So I think he's got a job. He threw last year 120 innings. So you're not going to get 200 innings out of him. But if you can get 150, maybe 160 out of him, that's great. I think you'll get some good ratios and everything. He's going to have a clunker every now and then. And I certainly don't think he's going to have a zero ERA for the rest of the year. But I do like him. I buy him in virtually just about every league. If it is a more shallow league, like a 12-team league, maybe he's your bench guy that you stream. But if it's a 15-team league, yeah, I'd be happy putting him out there, except against maybe, you know, in Colorado against Colorado, but that'd be about it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I think he's a fine option as far as, you know, you're missing guys like Robbie Ray, you're missing a guy like DeGrom. You could do a lot worse as far as guys you can pick up. You know, he's fairly young. He's only 26, good sized guy, pitched well in AAA, 10.7 K per nine, you know, so he's definitely a guy that could fill an injury hole for you there, as far as on your roster. And I don't think anything below, you know, kind of like you said, below 12 team, you really have to look at him at that point. Just like I said, though, depending upon what combination of injuries that you have out there, but I think he's definitely worth a flyer. I'm really hoping he's worth a flyer because I just traded for him in the Dynasty League a couple days ago. So we'll see.
Well, I like that move. I approve of the move, and it could be a breakout for Kingham. Al Melchior, he put up an article on Fantrax HQ that Kingham has begun to incorporate a slider this year, and in his MLB debut, he used it early and often. He threw 32 of his 98 pitches were sliders, and he got 12 whiffs with it, and it was so impressive that apparently he has stuck with the Pirates team for the time being. They thought they were just going to send him back down, so, you know, still, you know, the job security might be a little bit of a question. They might send him down if he has a bump in the road or two, but I'm pretty much all in with him. I think that he's a universal ad for me. You know, we've seen a lot more strikeouts out of him this year than in the past, and I think that you can chalk that up to the slider. So I'm very excited about Kingham. Unfortunately, I own him exactly nowhere, so hopefully I can change that over the coming weeks and the weekend if I can add him anywhere. But
I think we should, by the way, nickname him Bacon, because it's much more fun to refer to him as Nick Kingham.
Kingham!
So therefore, but you don't want to be too... You want to be a little more subtle with it. You don't want to just constantly be like, oh, yeah, I was watching baseball the other day. I got to see Kingham pitch, although that is fun to say. But if you say something like, I got to see Bacon pitch, then somebody goes, huh? And then you get to tell a story. So I'm going to say he's Bacon from now on.
Okay. I was thinking Rumham, like going with the Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's good, too. Rumham. All right. Jose Bautista. Ron, let's start with you here. Any interest in him? He signed a minor league deal with the Braves. So any interest in the Bautista? You think he makes any kind of impact anytime soon?
Puke.
Easy enough.
No, I don't. I mean, the guy's hitting .212 at AAA. I mean, I know he's only been there 9 games, but
not bad.
This was kind of a head-scratching move for me because I don't necessarily see where this is something that the Braves need to really do And they're planning on playing him, from what I hear, you know, on the, what I heard the other day, some of the, I think Jim Bowden was talking about it. I think they were talking about it on, MLB, round trip the other day. They're planning on playing him as the third base guy every day. And so I don't know necessarily why that's a move they need to make. He has not been really all that relevant in fantasy for a few years. I mean, I know, you know, 2017, he had 23 homers, but he also hit 203, 308 OBP. He really has not been a fantasy asset since, I mean, 2016, he was okay in a OBP league, but other than that, I mean, the guy's 37, you know, he's prone to injury. We know this, he's going to be playing third base. I just don't really see a need for them to do this. And I don't really see a need for me to add him in any format. So no, I could not be any less interested in Jose Bautista.
Now, what I will say is that, I recently lost Adrian Beltre in one of my leagues. And I went to go look at what's available out there at third base, and there's nothing. I mean, it is disgusting as to what's out there. Now, that's
all the third basemen are hurt.
They're all hurt. So Bautista is not exactly much more than disgusting, but if it's an OBP league, then I may take a slight flyer on him just because I do think no matter what, he's going to get on base because the guy can take a walk. I mean, last year, you're right, Ronnie hit 203, but he still had a 12% walk rate, which gave him a 308 OBP, which is fine, and with those 23 home runs. So, but that's ceiling. I don't think he's going to get any better than that. I think it's likely going to be worse than that. So 99.9% of the time here, I'm going to avoid him. But if it's that 1.1% scenario where I'm desperate for a third baseman and it's an OBP league, sure, I'll give it a shot, but I don't think there's a whole lot to see here.
Yeah, I think the Braves might bring him up just to sell some tickets down the road, but, you know, fantasy-wise, I'm just not paying any attention. And I don't know that for the actual Braves in real life that he would be any better than Johan Camargo and Ryan Flaherty or whoever they're, you know, throwing out there on a daily basis.
Who both have played fairly well this season.
Yeah, I don't know what the Braves have against Camargo.
Yeah, it's really kind of a head scratcher there too. I mean, those guys have not played all that badly.
Yeah. So let's see another perhaps more interesting guy here, Van. Tyler Austin appears to have usurped Neil Walker, who has forgotten how to hit. So, any interest in Tyler Austin with the Yankees?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually like Austin a lot. I think he's got some pop. I think he could hit for a decent average, and he's going to walk quite a bit. So I think there's plenty of value to be had here. The question is if and when Greg Bird comes back, what are we really going to see with Tyler Austin? Now, that said, I say it every single time somebody's like, oh, man, Greg Bird, such a sleeper. I just say I'm not that interested because it's either going to be injuries or just not really all that good. But so I'm not confident Bird comes back and is what he could be. So I think Austin, no matter what, is probably going to carve out a decent amount of playing time. The caveat here is that he strikes out a ton. He's at 35.6% K rate, but he's got three other guys on that team with K rates right around that range. So if they can do it and succeed, I think he can do it and succeed. And he just got back from his suspension. So as long as he quits punching people, I think there's plenty of value to be had here. I mean, 273, 342, 591, that's a bit optimistic. But if he can hit 265, 330, 470, I mean, you're going to get plenty of value out of him. So I like him okay enough in that regard.
Yeah, I definitely like some Tyler Austin. It's another guy I think I was able to snag off of waivers in our Dynasty League a few weeks ago. And, you know, the only thing I don't like is the K rate sitting at 35. I'd like to see that come down a little bit. But the one thing that you said there, Van, you know, with Greg Bird, Greg Bird's probably only going to be back about five games before he gets hurt again anyway. So it's going to be plenty of at-bats for Austin. So I think it's fine, and I think they'll find ways to get his bat in the lineup enough that he'll be a useful piece in most formats.
Yeah, I want every part of that New York Yankees lineup that I can get because it is potent. So even if he's hitting, you know, seventh or eighth or whatever on a given day, that is still a solid utility option or corner infield option in deeper leagues at the very least. And actually, Van, we'll throw this one to you because I believe I saw you pick him up in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League, and that is Jung Ho Kang, who apparently is going to try to work his way back into Major League Baseball. Do you have any insight as far as what's going on there, and what, if anything, are you expecting from him?
Well, no true insight, but you're right. I did pick him up. And the reason being is in the Dynasty League, I'm still in my rebuilding process. And if I have a bench spot, which I do here, I'm going to pick him up because if he can be back within, you know, a month and a half or so for the stretch, I might be able to trade him for a decent piece. Or if he is really performing well, who knows? He might end up being one of my keepers, though. I kind of doubt that. But that's it, it's basically an all upside play right here. You've got a potential shortstop because they've discussed that, but most likely a third baseman who has some pop and can walk a decent amount. I mean, when he played in 2016 and 2015, he was good. So he's a little bit older. He's probably a little bit more drunker. But he's been reinstated, and he's most likely going to make the team, I think, after they get him worked out. The biggest scare for me was that I think it was the AFL that last time he played. He was just abysmal. But I know there was also, you know, the court case going on, so maybe there was a little bit of mental stuff going on there. So physically, if he's healthy and in shape and, you know, psyched to win a job back, I think there's some value to be had here. So I just went ahead and picked him up just to see what can happen. Now, that said, if something comes up and I need the other spot, he may be one of the first guys that I cut. But if you're in a position like that, or a position where you're uber desperate, or it's a super deep league, or maybe a NL-only league, yeah, pick him up and in a month and a half, see what see where he's at.
Yeah, and you mentioned, too, he might be a little drunker. I think you expect that from a Pirate anyway. So he fits in perfectly with that. But, you know, he has been good when he's been in there. I mean, you know, 2016, he hit 20 homers, had a few steals, you know, three steals for you. Not a ton, but he played 103 games. And he was a useful piece, and I agree with you there that, you know, if you're in a league where, you know, we just mentioned third base and there not being anything there, and it made me think of when you mentioned that before, I lost Adrian Beltran to another league as well, and I was kind of scrambling. He could be a guy that could be a speculative ad, and you never know. It's moves like this, when especially with all the injuries we're having this year, it's moves like this, these little guys that you add that, you know, you can put in here and there that give you a little bit of production that can sometimes make the difference, especially in a deeper league. So, you know, I think he's worth checking out. The only thing I could find as far as where he's at in his comeback is as of today, he reported to their spring training facility. And so I don't know, no timetable for anything. It just says he's going to complete a physical exam. And so we'll see. But I don't know where he's at. But if he's out there and you got room for him, I know that's tough to do with all the injuries we have. Definitely worth an ad, I think, in most formats.
I personally am not really expecting anything from him this year. I think if he plays at all, I would be surprised. So I'm just pretty much looking at him in like keeper dynasty leagues as sort of a Hail Mary. Travis Jankowski is the next guy on this list, the second to last guy. We've got Will Myers on the disabled list once again. And of course, Chris Spangenberg, unfortunately, was sent down. And so Travis Jankowski is up and getting some playing time. Ron, are you, how much interest, I guess, do you have in the Jankowski?
He's a guy I actually had in a couple of leagues going into the season, and I cut ties with him just because I felt like the Padres outfield is pretty crowded. But, you know, we have Will Myers being Will Myers and being on the DL a couple times. So, yeah, he's got the opportunity for some playing time there, and he has the opportunity to swipe you some bags. Back 2016, he had 30 steals, 131 games, and that's kind of his MO. He's not got a lot of pop. I don't think he's hit more than two home runs in any professional season, so really he has no pop whatsoever, but he could score you some runs and he could steal you some bags. If you go all the way back to 2013, at high A, he stole 71 bases in 122 games, so I don't know if we can expect 71 steals from him, but I think, you know, if you do need some help in the speed department, and if he can crack the lineup and actually get some meaningful number of at bats, I think he'd be okay. It'd have to be kind of a deep league, though, just for the simple fact he kind of reminds me a little bit of Pedraza. In fact, that if he, you know, once again, if he's not getting on base, he's kind of a one-trick pony for you. He's not getting on base. He can't steal bases. Therefore, he's not really going to be much use to you because he's not going to hit you home runs. He's not going to drive in a lot of runs. So deep league, if you need some steals, might be a guy that if you don't have to pay much for, that's worth an ad. But I don't know. Most formats, I'm probably going to overlook him just because I don't know what exactly the playing time shakeout's going to be yet.
Yeah, he was kind of a big, I guess, sleeper pick going into the 2017 season, and it perplexed me then as much as it does now because he does two things. He steals bases and he walks, and that's it. He can't hit for average. He can't hit for power. He doesn't do a whole lot else. And he strikes out a little bit more than I would want, you know, slap the ball speedsters to do. You talked about the depth of the Padres outfield, Ron. I agree, and I just don't think there's really going to be a whole lot of playing time when it all shakes out and when everyone does get healthy. So maybe if you're in uber desperate need for a stolen base here and there, you can throw him in, but I think he's going to hurt you in a lot of ways unless you're in an OBP league. So I'm, for the most part, just going to avoid him. I just don't have a whole lot of interest.
Well, I do have interest, and I picked him up in the Dynasty League. I was one of the guys who sort of touted him, I guess, to a certain extent last year.
You absolutely did, because I remember you had him, and I think you traded him for something or whatever crazy. But I remember specifically being like, why is he so fascinated with this guy? But, yeah, you did like him, so this doesn't surprise me too much.
Yeah, no, it was just super cheap speed is all it was. Obviously, you're not getting any power from him, and the batting average is also very questionable. But this year in the minor leagues, he was hitting .363, and he's always been a guy who gets on base a lot. So that helps to mitigate the potential lack of batting average. But he actually had a 37% hard contact rate last year when he was up with the Padres. Didn't translate to any production, though, as he hit .187. But if you're, like the Dynasty where I picked him up, it's a 15-team OBP league, and that's the perfect format for a guy like Jankowski. The thing is, he might go, 12 for 23 in this coming week and still use seven bases, but he also might go 3 for 23 and give you absolutely nothing because he doesn't hit for any, even a modicum of power. And it's not a great lineup there. So sort of a deep league ad, but I do have interest in Jankowski, at least for the speed. Like if you're in a points league, then you can pretty much ignore him because those technically or typically devalue the stolen bases. But if you're in a roto league, then he could be a really nice short-term, at least cheap source of speed. But our last guy, Van, Jorge Soler, he has 3 home runs, 9 runs, and 9 RBIs on the year. So not like super impressive, but he is hitting over .300. He's got a slash line of .306, .434, .494, but he's actually shown some plate discipline as well. 17% walk rate so far. So are you buying in on the Jorge Soler resurgence?
To an extent, I am. I think this is him finally achieving his talent level. And what I'm going to say about it is, and bear with me, is that it's kind of Justin Upton-esque in that, everybody expected the moon, but then they really kind of struggled. But then once they settled in, they were a pretty good player. Now, that said, Justin Upton is worlds better than Jorge Soler's ever going to be. But I do think there's value to be had here. I don't think he's going to hit 300, 306 for the rest of the year. But I think he could hit 270, which if he hits 270 and walks, well, again, he's walking 17% of the time. I don't think that's going to happen. But if he walks 10% of the time, which he's done in the past regularly, you're going to have a great OBP. The power should be there because he does have a powerful swing and he has a lot of raw power. It hasn't quite translated yet this year with just the 3 home runs, but I think it could happen. And the strikeouts are down a bit to the 25% range. So if he does that instead of striking out 30% of the time, there's tons of value to be had here. So maybe it's finally all come together in his age 26 season. I wouldn't go around expecting, number 2 outfielder here, but I think if he's on your team and you've taken a flyer for him for the tiny cost you paid for him, I think you're going to get your value this season.
He's 26, so I mean he's still got a lot of a lot of baseball left in him. And a couple things, I think he can still be a pretty productive piece in a lot of formats. But a couple things kind of give me some pause as far as I wonder how much the production is going to fall. He's currently got a hard contact rate of 44%, which is up from 35.6 for his career. So that's a little bit, I don't know if that's sustainable or not. We'll see. Also the 417 BABIP, I wonder, that's a little bit on the high side, compared to the career mark of 326. So we'll see if that sticks around. I don't think that either one of those will, but I will say, like you said, Van, I think 270, if you get 270 out of him, if you can get, I don't know, he's got 3 homers now. Maybe if you can get about 20 homers, 70 RBI, guy that you can pluck off waivers most likely in a lot of leagues, it's pretty decent production. And I think he has a chance to get even better. Like I said, at age 26, he's got, a little bit of life left in him. He's definitely not washed up. He's definitely not a guy that you're going to get huge production out of. But I think, especially in deeper formats, he's a guy, if he's out there, he's worth taking a chance on. I just wouldn't pay a whole lot to get him, though, I don't think.
No, I still The only interest I have in Solera at this point still is deeper leagues. Like if I'm in a 10-12 team mixed league, I'm still not very interested in him. You know, he's hitting over 300. And like you said, with the obscene BABIP, you know, he's still only making 66% contact, which is just horrendous. And, you know, the plate discipline is there to an extent, like as far as his patience, at least. His swing rate is 38%. Chase rate is only 22%. So that does indicate that, you know, the walks should at least be, you know, 10-12%, if not a little bit higher. But I'm just not convinced that the batting average is going to be anywhere near 300. I would be more expecting something in line with his 250 career average. And he might have to hit a few more balls in the air to hit for any kind of, you know, 25 home run power really to matter in those standard mixers. So I need to see a little bit more from Soler before I am too convinced. And also, 9 runs and 9 RBI in 25 games is terrible. that lineup sucks. And so that's not going to help his value at all. But that's going to wrap us up for this week. I hate to end on such negativity, but you know what? Plugs make me happy. So, Ron, go ahead and plug everything that you got coming out this week.
Plugs.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Ooh.
You said they make you happy. Words were right in your mouth.
In my mouth?
No. Nathan. He's the one who's talking about how plugs make him happy.
Or that's a different true. Orifice.
Yeah, that's something he's definitely not got coming out this
week. I feel like Van is really coming at me in this episode. Jeez,
he's subtweeting
me with this Jankowski stuff, and now he's throwing butt plug stuff at me.
Well, man. I mean, I told you guys I've had a pretty crappy day beforehand, and I had to take it out on somebody. And
I'm a whipping boy this week.
And I'm terrified of Ron. Look how big he is. So obviously I'm going to go after you, Nate.
Well, that is a wise choice. I will say that.
I will say, though, I was, like, very ultra gentle today. I had a couple of birds stuck in my patio that I had to get out. So, I handled that. You know, that was a tender moment with the birdies. So, anyway. So, let's see. What have I got coming out this
then
week?
Then you ate them for the protein.
Yeah, I didn't say.
Bro.
I didn't say where they went after I got them out of the patio. This week, I got a couple week hiatus from Fantastics, but you'll see me a lot on there later this month. So we got the podcast this week, and then Bob Lung and myself, we had our boy Colby Conway on with us Sunday, talking some post draft consistency with the football stuff. And this coming week, we're gonna start diving into the wide receiver consistency stuff on the Consistency Football Show that comes out. We record that Sunday night. Usually comes out Monday. So kind of a light week for me as far as that kind of stuff. But it's mainly just a podcast week for me. And chasing birds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to people who were threatened by me because they think I'm being mean to them. So here, I guess I'll start my plugs now. Fantrax, I just wrote an article and it was posted today. I was kind of tired of writing about prospects and blah, 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 so I just had to take a week off and instead talked about guys that maybe should make a move on, about buying or selling. So I talk about Mitch Haniger, Javier Baez, Gerrit Cole, Miguel Cabrera. The Gerrit Cole part was just so I could brag about how smart I've been about Gerrit Cole. But go take a look at that. That'll give you some ideas and maybe some ideas to change about some players you've drafted or how to make moves on your team. You know, now that we're a month away in, you should be looking at your standings. Obviously, we do the Fantrax Dynasty Baseball podcast, which we just recorded, will be up tomorrow. And then I also do the Launch Angle podcast, which was up today, which will have been Wednesday once you hear this. Go listen to that. That was a fun episode where Rob cursed a lot, so I got to bleep out a bunch of things.
I do like when he curses, though, on that podcast. I enjoy it. So as far as my stuff coming out, I got Fire and Ice on Friday, and then it's all weekend stuff pretty much. And then on Razzball, I do back-to-back days. I've got my two-start pitchers, the two-starter Palooza, which comes out on Saturdays. And then I'm going to be doing the top 100 starting pitchers every Sunday. So you can check out that funky action. Maybe we'll have a guest next week. We'll see what we get lined up. But until then, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.